Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. End of the line, Joel says, still no Keith Woods or JF on Twitter. Yeah, that's what annoys me most about these Twitter files. If we were here celebrating that the censorship is all over, that would be fun. But the censorship isn't over. Elon Musk has promised general amnesty. I don't see any amnesty for my account. I don't see any amnesty for Keith Woods. What is happening, Elon? What about your promise? He says, amazing to see the hypocrisy of the left when it comes to free speech and the doxing situation on Twitter. They really have no principle. Yes, absolutely. You can see the journalists and the actors getting together and I want to see some action on this, Elon. Restore those accounts. Whenever a bunch of mainstream journalists get banned, because the rules have always been applied with double standards. The rules have been applied to crash people like me and to elevate people like the mainstream journalist. And the mainstream journalists have been cuddled in ignorance. They didn't realize that when they were saying stuff that's anti-white, if I say the same thing about black people or Jews, I get banned. But they can say it about whites, and they're driven crazy now because Elon Musk has made a new emotionally driven anti-doxing rules where you cannot state even a public information about someone's current location, which I'm fine with. I'm not fine with Elon Musk listening to his emotions like this because it will lead to extremely unstable enforcement and unstable developments for the Twitter rules. But I don't disagree with the rule. I think it's great not to reveal people's current location. But, you know, Twitter has a lot of work to do to get there, including banning mainstream leftist media because they love to do this. They love to dox. Per Palm says, good evening, Papa JF, and you fine folks in chat. Kind regards and Merry Christmas to all. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling the full Christmas context, the full Christmas ambience, because I've been I've done some shopping. I've been buying some good sausages, dry sausages of all kind. I have a gigantic salami, and I want to taste it for the Christmas dinner show, which I haven't scheduled yet. It's going to be amazing. End of the line, Joel says, and EU keeps threatening Elon too. Absolutely. And so he's being pulled by in all senses. So in a way, I'm happy that Elon is suffering. I'm happy that the leftists are going after him because he has not yet honored his promise. I have honored my promise. I have sent $8 to Elon Musk. I subscribed to Twitter Blue for a month. And he has my $8. Now, I want to see an unbanned account. JFGARIEPY. That's my account, Elon. Unbanned now. Denzimon says, billionaires collect people. Musk is owned by Ellison, and they are installing the social credit / global surveillance apparatus via Twitter, WeChat. Okay. They can. I mean, the global surveillance apparatus is already there. You know, as long as you can create an anonymous account on Twitter to follow people, I'm fine. But people like me who work on the web, we're going to be known no matter what. So it's anonymity has no value for me. but it may be valuable for some people. I want to talk about a book. The old followers of the show and those of you who are fan of the revolutionary phenotype will be happy or very unhappy to learn that someone, a glittering genius, under his real name apparently, or maybe it's a pseudonym, I don't know, he published under the name T.K. Van Allen, Debunking the Selfish Gene, The Phenocentric Theory of Biological Purpose. Oh my God. I'm currently reading it. If it's a debunking of the selfish gene, then I don't know if he's going to mention the revolutionary phenotype and attack it as he has done in the past in his blog post, but I have to read this. I have to read this to debunk it and criticize it, because I know it's going to be crap knowing that who it comes from. So I bought it and I'm currently reading it. It's crap, as I expected. The big problem of this guy, Blithering Genius, is that he refuses to engage with the actual argument being made. He wants to engage with the argument that he has invented in his head. And he says that this book is a theory of biological purpose that is better than the selfish gene. But the problem is, the selfish gene is not a theory of biological purpose. Explicitly, many times, Richard Dawkins says it in The Selfish Gene. Evolution, natural selection, are mechanism. They just happen. They don't have a purpose. Although you can see it through the lens of a purpose, it's a human superposition that you make on this, but ultimately these things in and of themselves have no purpose. And yet, Blithering Genius spends the whole beginning of the book, which I read about a third of the book, spends his whole time debunking the idea that, oh yeah, there's no purpose in organisms. Well, Richard Dawkins would say the same. So what the fuck are you doing? This is not debunking the selfish gene. What a poor performance against by Blithering Genius, which is why I found it totally useless to engage with this guy. He just lives in a parallel reality, and I think it's better for him to be continuing to publish his ideas in his books and never get read by anyone. Night King says, hey Jeff, how are ligers a thing? Lion father plus tiger mother. I didn't know these hybrids existed my whole adult life. What the fuck? How can they reproduce cross species? Well, they can, because there's nothing that really forces species to be a separate thing. Species are high-level phenomenon that we perceive. This high-level phenomenon is the very slow divergence of the fact that if you constantly don't evolve to fuck a certain subset of females, eventually these females become part of a whole new species because they also don't evolve to fuck you, to get fucked by you. In other words, reproductive isolation is what leads to species, but there's nothing in nature that really wants to have species. So it's something that develops just out of the entropic variations of random, and it's not something that is forced in nature. And from the perspective of the genes, they don't want to be in a separate species. They want to be fit with what's around them. And if you have a lot of lions around you, you will evolve to be fit to reproduce with the lions. And then the tigers, if you have a lot of tigers around you, you're going to evolve to be fit within the tiger population. But there is nothing that forces the fact that there cannot be crossover, that there cannot be reproduction between the two. And since we all share a common ancestor, it's totally possible, and it's possible in the case of ligers, apparently. New guy says, haha, my subject has come up. I love people like this. They have one subject that they're fascinated about. They watch this show every day for years without saying a single thing in the chat. And then whenever that subject comes, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, ligers. Oh, I love ligers. It's so creepy in a way. Holy shit. Go away, says Jeff. They're like mules, right? A cross between donkeys and horses. Mules are infertile, I'm pretty sure. Are ligers infertile too? Yeah, I don't remember if they are 100% infertile, or if there's a possibility to reproduce then with a lion or one of the two. But yeah, they're definitely reproductively handicapped, if we want to frame it that way. The Twitter Files Part 6 have been released. Thread, the Twitter Files Part 6, Twitter, the FBI subsidiary. The Twitter Files are revealing more every day about how the government collects, analyzes, and flags your social media account. So what do we have in this release? Not anything super stunning. It's something that we couldn't know was happening already because we had Yoel Roth was meeting with the FBI on an every week basis. And Yoel Roth has one function on Twitter, it's to shut it down. So, and there's all sorts of ex-FBI people who are employees at Twitter back then. So, of course, FBI had a major, extensive input into who was getting banned. But what we see here in this release is the everyday conversation and the everyday emailing between the FBI and exactly how and who they were asking to ban. And every time they came with a request, the Twitter team is responding, oh, well, okay, well, this guy, we haven't found a violation for what the FBI reported, but we found another reason to ban them, like spam. And so it's exactly what happened to me. Every time I read the Twitter files, I'm like, is there a JF Garyupi in there? Because that's totally what happened to me. They invented spam as an excuse to ban me. When we all know why I was banned, it has nothing to do with spam. It's for my IDs, it's for the positions I take, and it's for the subjects I'm willing to cover and the guests I was willing to have on my show when it was the public space. Tillman says, JF, don't you think ligers are man-made? I don't know. Is it a product of a zoo? Because I think I've seen some in nature. You'd have to Google it. I have way too little interest in the freaking subject of ligers to search for it. Eric Oliver is sending a super chat on Entropy. He sends a comic about this one I wanted to cover it yesterday. Thank you for reminding me, because somehow I forgot to show the tab. But that is a funny Stone Toss comic. The accountant of Twitter tells Elon Musk, the $8 verification isn't enough, Mr. Musk. We need more revenue. And then you have Elon Musk thinking, and he comes up with $80, the N-word pass. And there's a tweet of Elon Musk that says, technically, I'm African. Oh my God. I mean, the relief that you must feel when you're on that subscription service. I would buy it. I would seriously buy it. I don't know if I would feel the need to use it. I would ban it just to totally get rid of that part of my brain that says, oh yeah, there's a word you cannot say, JF, even if you're on Odyssey. Even, I would love to have that relief. Elon, I'm going to pay you $80 a month if you unban my Twitter account and you give me an official N-word pass. That is so hilarious. So going back to the Twitter file, hello, Twitter contact. So that's how a guy from the FBI, well, a guy or a girl, Fred, so I guess a guy. FBI.gov email. He says, hello, Twitter contacts, FBI San Francisco. Oh, yes. I just had a vision of what it must look like at the headquarters of FBI San Francisco. Holy shit, there must be drag queen reading hour on an everyday basis. FBI San Francisco is notifying you of the below accounts, which may potentially constitute violations of Twitter's terms of service for any action or inaction deemed appropriate within Twitter policy. That's how they were doing it. So I would like to suggest that this private individual may be violating your private terms of service that you are engaged with him. You do what you want with this. We're the FBI. We cannot decide for you. That is how they were doing. A bunch of regular, sometimes very small Twitter account Some of those people were just joking about election interference. This guy was saying, I want to remind Republicans to vote tomorrow, Wednesday, November 9th, which apparently was not the right date. And so the FBI was going after them. This guy was saying, proposed container ship if there's a worldwide recession. Okay, a little joke about the world falling. Sometimes even leftist account, Dr. Foster. I'm a ballot counter in my state. If you're not wearing a mask, I'm not counting your vote. Hashtag safety first. For every negative comment on this post, I'm adding another vote for the Democrats. So she was a liberal Democrat making a joke, but ends up being targeted by the FBI. The National Election Command Post is requesting assistance from SF regarding coordination with Twitter. Specifically, NECP has been made aware of tweets by certain accounts that may warrant additional action due to the accounts being utilized to spread misinformation about the coming election. And so they're like, look at the emails, FBI was talking about censoring, sometimes parody, about the election and joking within private citizens. FBI again, Twitter folks, please see below list of Twitter accounts which we believe are violating your terms of service by disseminating false information about the time, place, or manner of the upcoming elections. Let us know if you decide to take any actions against these accounts based on our tipper to you. Also, let us know if we need to issue a preservation letter as we intend to serve legal process for these accounts. Thank you for your consideration. All happening in the background, a bunch of people deciding what is sayable in America and what is not. Grapes Coda says they probably stopped employing straight white men because they kept resonating with the content they were banning / monitoring. The Democrats like to do this. They like to make sure that it's their people in the government forces. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you would like to see that dollar button and it's not showing up, make sure you add a payment method to your Odyssey account. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Twitter then replied to that email. Thank you for your patience as our team assessed the accounts that you flagged. We've completed our review and taken the following actions on some of the accounts: permanently suspended for policy violations, ban evasion, platform manipulation, excessive misinformation strikes, temporarily suspended for spam behavior. So they go beyond what the FBI is asking. They're like, oh, well, this guy, we don't really have a case against him in misinformation, but we found some spam. So you get what you want, FBI, and so we're good, right? Again, you see the messages that Twitter, the set of accounts suspended. Many of the above accounts were satirical in nature, nearly all, with the exception of Ballwind and RSBN Network, were relatively low engagement, and some were suspended, most with the generic thanks Twitter. When told of the FBI flagging, Lexi Tola replied, my thoughts initially include, seems like prima facie First Amendment violation. 2, holy cow, me, an account with the reach of an amoeba. 3, what else are they looking at? So that was the reaction of a guy now understanding what led to his banning years ago. They get letters between different legal execs and they keep discussing just what are the accounts that you want banned. Another internal letter shows Twitter execs processing an FBI list of possible violative content. So here they received a list, not of accounts, but of tweets specifically. And it was, you can track your ticket here. So this described a service desk that existed in the background at Twitter, which the FBI had access to, and they could submit tickets to get the Twitter accounts banned in the background without people knowing about it. In this March 2021 email, an FBI liaison thanks a senior Twitter exec for the chance to speak to you and the team, and then delivers a packet of products. Hi, Stacia. It was great speaking with you and the team at Twitter last week. I wanted to flag a few products that were released today and earlier in the week that may be of assistance to Twitter. Let us know if you have any question. So those so-called products are just pamphlets from other organizations from the government that do sensibilization about misinformation, and like DHS and other groups that had their interest in manipulating Twitter. The executive circulates the products, which are really DHS bulletins, stressing the need for greater collaboration between law enforcement and private sector partners. Well, of course, that's what they were putting together, a machine of fascism between the government and the big corporations. Mark says, Ariel Suarez, I see. So everything goes through the blender, including men parts. Why would you be interested in joining such cults? What the fuck are we talking about here? A cult that puts people in blenders? That doesn't sound interesting. Spindly Opinion says, most media will try and ignore this, but will other countries use it when America likes to complain about democracy abroad? Oh, well, America is done on this front. America cannot talk about China and Russia and how liberty is preferable to their model, because we basically have a censorship system here that you would expect in a Chinese-like government. So the DHS in its products spans permissive social media for offering operational advantages to Russians. It also explains that the domestic violent extremist threat requires addressing information gaps. So that's how they frame it to justify their action. There's an information gap here. And we need to eliminate certain information and favor others. There were multiple points of entry into Twitter for government-flagged reports. So we see there's basically multiple ways in which the government was intervening on speech. They had a background portal, they had weekly meetings with Yoel Roth, and they had all these emails that they could send directly to the team. So they had at least three different ways to get the banning of an account. Why was no action taken? Below, Twitter execs receiving an alert from California officials by way of our partner support portal debate whether to act on a Trump tweet. The Trump tweet in question was, California hired a purse-sleepy Joe Democrat firm to count and harvest votes. No way Republicans get a fair shake. Liars, get started. GOP leader, California is in big trouble. Vote Trump and watch the greatest comeback of them all. Also, New York and Illinois, go for it. So, a tweet that is absolutely regular. He claims that a firm is doing vote harvesting. What are you going to do? You're going to have the state of California call Twitter to have this tweet banned, to have this tweet obliterated? Trump is entitled to believe that there is vote harvesting and that this firm is participating to it. If they want to sue him for defamation, they can. It's not the work of the state to decide this tweet is misleading. Go away, says JF. Please don't talk shit on Russia or based Putin. 0.5 rubles have been deposited in my account for this post. Well, I think I've been pretty kind to Vladimir Putin in the last year. I actually did a debate in which I I changed my background video to a Soviet Empire era and to past the great figures of Russia. So I think I've delivered my service to the motherland. Eric Oliver sends a super chat on Entropy. He says a Russian hacking group, Killnet, has claimed to have hacked the FBI as well as Humana Military TRICARE. The Humana Military TRICARE hasn't been reported on yet. I think it was last night. Russian hackers have claimed to have hacked into the FBI database and stolen data on thousands of American agents. Okay. I don't know, bro. Hackers will hack. I don't know what to say about this, man. But thanks for the info. It's good to know that it's happening. Here, a video was reported by the Election Integrity Project at Stanford, apparently on the strength of information from the Center for Internet Security. So they had all these private entities, like indirectly, you know, Democrat super PACs and Democrat-like nonprofits and Democrat-sympathetic nonprofits. All of these things, like Center for Integrity of crap, they were all also inputting alongside the FBI, and they were all controlling, ultimately, who was getting banned. So, that's it for the Twitter Files 6. What is the conclusion of this? It's that there was really an everyday, like, tweet-by-tweet level of involvement in FBI censorship of American people. So, absolute violations of the First Amendment. The way it was done was very dirty. Like, oh, maybe this guy is violating your rules? I don't know. Maybe it is. It's so... It's so low level. You expect to see this in the Ukrainian corrupt government, not in the American free speech land of the free government. That's ridiculous. Mark says, will you be on WoWs this year, JF? Yes. I'll be there on the 24th. I insisted to be there at a moment where we can all feel the Christmas. The full Christmas feeling, you know. Meanwhile, the bashing over Binance is continuing. These people are trying to crash Binance into inexistence. I cannot tell you for sure that Binance will survive this. But what I can say for sure is that they are trying so hard, and it's so pathetic to see them. And Binance has survived other eras of the internet. And my guess is that Binance will prevail. That would be my wild guess. Now, I'm not going to bet my money on this. So I told you guys that I got my money out of Binance months ago. More than a month ago. So I don't trust Binance. Just like I don't trust any centralized exchange to a certain extent. But my guess as a journalist is these guys don't have anything against Binance. Binance has done nothing wrong. They're trying to incite a bank run against Binance, and I think they will fail. I think in fact, I was looking at data that Forex Shark was sharing with us on the Discord in the finance section. It looks like we may be at the bottom of the BTC drop. I know it's spectacular to say this on a day where it did drop a lot, but I can't say for sure that we're headed toward 12K. Can't say for sure that you'll ever be able to buy a Bitcoin at $10,000K, at $10,000. I'm kind of convinced by this based on a couple of things. First, Forex Shark shows us the heat map of liquidations. The exchanges have nothing to gain in further dropping the price. The exchanges have reached maximal liquidation at 16.5K. if you go further down, there's no one to liquidate on the futures platforms. Secondly, a bank run, and I've been preparing for this event for years. Those of you who have been listening to me for a long time know I've said it before. The day Binance or Tether fails, the day the political people go after these people, you're gonna see a massive rise of the price of Bitcoin. Why? Because Bitcoin is how you get your money out of this uncertain system. That includes both centralized exchanges as a whole, but also the whole economy of the USDT and the whole, is a USDT really a USD? So whatever FUD they want to do, I think it's going to lead to an increase of price of Bitcoin. In fact, it's kind of spectacular that in a situation where it is claimed that Binance is getting outflowed of all its Bitcoin, it's spectacular that the price is still dropping. I think that the price was dropping merely because there was a lot of liquidations to be had by people who were long and they had their margin call at 16.5k. I believe that going forward, even if there was a bank run on Binance, BTC will be extremely high value, because a bank run means taking your money away. But how do you take your money out of Binance? You move it out to cold wallets. And that's what people will do. And the more people move to cold wallets, the more they have to buy these Bitcoins at a premium. Mikronova says, I know the value of BTC will go above 100,000 in the next few years. Exactly. So it is with an absolutely calm heart that I'm super happy, as the more the Bitcoin price drops, the more I'm going to buy Bitcoins. And I'm buying Bitcoins. I will be buying Bitcoins next week. I'll be buying Bitcoins next month. I'll be buying Bitcoins over the next 6 months. I was talking to a boomer when I went shopping and I met him and I said, it's going to be time to buy Bitcoin, my boomer friend. And he was like, okay, how does it happen? How do we do it? And I was like, the day you're ready, you call me and I will go to your home and we're going to buy Bitcoin. Firestarter says, Firestarter says, when I was in a high school, my computer nerd friend said, it's not worth mining BTC at $200. Lol. Yeah, it is. The mining thing is a complex thing. If you're looking at it from the long term, definitely it's viable. If you're looking at it from like being paid for your expenses immediately, then it's very hard to be viable. So here's the FUD. Kevin O'Leary, CNBC, by the way, is going all in into this FUD around Binance. I believe they've been probably paid by Kevin O'Leary. Kevin O'Leary said, how much do I have to pay you for you to constantly smash on the head of CZ? And that's what they're going for. But I have some bad news for CNBC. They are decredibilizing their coverage. They're being used for a smearing that may not age well. So careful, CNBC. I mean, does CNBC care at this point? I mean, they have Jim Cramer. It's like, at this point, it's a meme how bad they are.
Let me address something before we go any further. Yesterday on the air, CZ called me a liar. That suggests that I perjured myself in front of the U.S. Senate for 2 hours this week. I can assure you that is not the case. Another little parable here.
Well, you attacked CZ first. You said CZ caused the fall of FTX. So is it fair to call someone else who attacks you a liar? I think it's totally fair. And in fact, it doesn't matter if you lie intentionally or not, because you lie carelessly. You say a falsehood that is careless and reckless. This falsehood comes from a psychotic narrative of SBF, of your friend SBF, your partner in crime. Literally, partner in crime. And so you attacked, you defamed CZ. You have no choice when you're defamed to call the other person a liar. And it doesn't matter if was it an intentional lie or was it technically a lie or just a falsehood. It is what you have to do, because the brain of people is limited. Their attention is limited, especially with someone with a different accent like CZ. And so the first thing you have to say is, oh yeah, that's a lie. Kevin O'Leary is a liar. And maybe we can have a more subtle discussion eventually where I say what is false and what is true and what he said. But that's, where did you take this claim that CZ caused the fall of FTX? From his perspective, you lied, because from his perspective, he didn't. Now, we can argue whether he did and whether he had a causal role, but ultimately, no matter the causal role you have because you tweet, if a company can fall by a tweet, that company was due to fall. I think we should all agree on this, at least.
Here, you should understand, when I was young, my birth father, who's Irish, put me on his knee, and every Irishman will know this, and he said, son, never call an Irishman a liar unless you know with certainty that's true. And I said, why is that, Dad? He said, because the Irish are crazy.
Kevin O'Leary playing the whole Conor McGregor. I'm a crazy motherfucker. I'm dangerous. He's been doing this on Shark Tank before. He's been like, whenever it comes to the question of other companies stealing his intellectual property, he's like, we're gonna send all these lawyers against them and they're gonna make their life horrible. We're gonna take their houses. He's very much like Conor McGregor. He's a showman.
Now, I don't know what it meant back then, but I got to tell you, I'm not happy about that. So at the end of the day, I have no ill will to this guy, but he's part of the story too. And you found out yesterday.
No, you do have ill will. You are on a path of vengeance. You lost, and you cannot accept that you're the only one who lost. So you want to bring everyone down with you. Why don't you go see CZ and form a partnership with him? There's a bull run coming. I mean, you can get into Bitcoin now, Kevin, and you're going to be 10x in 2 years, 3 years from now.
Yesterday, you did a little work with Squawk Box. We talked about it either being 2 billion or 3 billion, that transaction. That's the largest transaction, I think, of anything in there regarding the balance sheet.
Yeah, but FTX, SBF insisted. They wanted to buy back their own equity from CZ. When you want something, you have to pay a higher price because the other person will know that you want it. So CZ knew that they wanted it. So he's been in a position to ask for a major price. And it was something between 2.1 and I think there's speculation between 2.1 and 3 billion, depending on how you count things and the values of these tokens. But that was a fair decision that was made before the company was bankrupt.
In recent 24-month period, and he confirmed it was 2.1 billion. And then he confirmed that he still had 550 million, half a billion dollars of FTT tokens.
Not now. FTT tokens, my understanding is that they are not worth anything. But he was talking in the past tense when he said this. He said, we eventually realized we had $580 million worth of FTT token after the first fall of FTT. That was in the past. It's not necessarily what he made on the transaction, and it's not necessarily what is left now.
Now, at some point, we're going to look at that week of November 6th, and you ask anybody why was Sam Bankman-Fried or the whole company FTX forced into bankruptcy? It was jamming down that last half a billion that gave them no option. Now,
wait a minute.
You ask anybody why was Sam Bankman-Fried or the whole company FTX forced into bankruptcy? It was jamming down that last half a billion that gave them no option. Now, is that the fatal stroke or blow?
So Kevin O'Leary is trying to build a narrative that SBF was not headed for bankruptcy if it wasn't of this $580 million that CZ has and that we could seize now. We could save FTX with that $580 million. In fact, this $580 million belongs to the customers that were defrauded by SBF. They were forced into bankruptcy by this evil Chinese businessman, CZ. That is the narrative he's trying to build. And it's absolutely ridiculous. They were not forced. They made that decision. They insisted that they wanted to buy back their equity. They acted like big shots on the market, buying all sorts of promotions, buying publicity on the Super Bowl. So they acted like big shots, and big shots, sometimes they want to buy back their own equity to be fully owned by themselves. That's what they did, and it was a bad call. It was a bad call because it was done in a context where they were short on money because they had made bad bets on the stock market. The $3 billion that could have been received, or $2.1 billion, whatever is the amount, this amount is much smaller than what was lost by Alameda Research, which is somewhere between $8 to $11 billion on market bets. So How Kevin O'Leary is trying to frame the narrative as, oh, CZ took by force this money, and that's why SBF failed. It's ridiculous. It's not the reality. We can see it already.
Blow to get rid of.
And even if that was the case, that would just mean SBF defrauded customers by emptying their deposit account to buy equity for himself. That is still fraud from the SBF side. That is still not something you would reproach to CZ. So we're still in the same criminal case here. It's a criminal case where SBF has not had proper ethics in the management of client funds. Like, if you have improper ethics of management of your funds, but you come to me and you say, Papa JF, I want to buy your TV, does that make me guilty of fraud? No. I cannot know that your money was the result of fraud. I have a TV to sell. I'm selling it to you because you show money to me.
If you're a global competitor, I say yes. I'll tell you something else. Right after that interview.
Now he's claiming the monopolistic stratagem by CZ.
You. I got a phone call. Right?
By the way, CZ acted in a lot of points in his life in a ridiculous manner from my perspective. Like, I would want a monopoly if I was in CZ's position. But CZ has ridiculously funded his own competitor. He has funded research and development and an initial equity investment into FTX that he wouldn't control because he wouldn't have a majority share in it. Can you believe this? CZ basically caused the success of FTX at the beginning. So, and you're gonna claim to me that CZ is obsessed with building a monopoly? DK Shadow says, no, JF, you have to trace that money back three generations. Well, I know a bunch of people who would have a problem with this, because three generations, we might be attaining the slave ships here, and I don't think they would like it.
Actually, it was a text from a lobbyist in Washington saying, don't go anywhere, you're coming back. So I bet CZ bought himself an invitation to Washington yesterday. Can't wait to meet him there.
CZ is not going to Washington. I'm just telling you, Kevin O'Leary. CZ is not going to Washington, nor in a jail, nor at the Congress. CZ is not available right now. You're going to have war with a country if you want CZ in Washington.
There, we can go.
And I'm not telling you which country.
Sightseeing.
Kevin, I suspect you might be right on that front. The only thing I'd say, even if that's the case, even if what he did led to the uncovering of what we now suspect, what's now been alleged in these documents or these complaints from the SEC and a criminal complaint too, I mean,
she doesn't even say the word. The criminal complaint is against SBF, right? You guys are hammering on CZ. The criminal complaint is against Kevin O'Leary's business partner, SBF. The SEC case also.
The complaint doesn't get into that as much as it gets into the idea that this was a fraud underneath it anyway. So if CZ did bring down the demise of this and let us see what was there, maybe all he did was sweep the tide out and we saw that SBF was swimming around naked. I mean,
acceptable point here. Finally, we get some pushback to this narrative. I think she's kind of trying to play the devil advocate here. She's like, yeah, I mean, you know, there could be a version of this story in which it makes sense for CZ to have exposed a fraud. And thank God he did before the fraud got bigger. That is a very good question to Kevin O'Leary. Kevin, you didn't pay enough. You didn't pay enough.
That may be the bigger issue here, that if he did do it, maybe it was a favor to everybody if it unveiled a Ponzi scheme that might have still been going on otherwise.
Excellent point.
Well, remember, he was trying to buy the business at that time. On Wednesday, the idea was he was going to buy it.
Was he doing that just to throw...
He wanted to buy it to save it, but he realized he couldn't save it.
More shade at him, I don't know.
Well, we don't know, but obviously if he thought there was fraud, he wouldn't have made an offer to buy it. So nobody knew, including, remember, this guy's a huge shareholder of FTX, or he was, and so he didn't see the fraud either. So at the end of the day, the question becomes clawback. You've been talking about it for the last...
It's amazing because they are holding two discourses that are not compatible. Was CZ the great mastermind who crashed FTX for the purpose of developing a monopoly on crypto centralization? Or was CZ so stupid that he couldn't know that his shares of FTX were at risk? That doesn't work together. You cannot hold these two theories in your head compatibly.
Last 2 days. Is that $2.1 billion Madoff-style clawback? Who knows? But if I get on that credit committee, I'll be one of the guys doing the clawing. So I'm looking forward to that because I think at the end of the day, every shareholder and account holder has to have an answer to what happened here. I normally would have written this off like the other eight venture investments, but not this one. I'm staying on this one right to the end. I'm going to teach this course at Harvard one day in my guest lecturing. This is going to be a case. This will be a chestnut. This is an extraordinary situation right now.
What a maniacal narcissist. This guy wants to teach a lesson to CZ so he can eventually be professor at Harvard and be able to say to his student, see what happens when you fuck with me? That's what it is. Kevin O'Leary is trying to message to future people. He's trying to play aggressive and message to future people, if you fuck with the Kevin O'Leary investment, you're going to get the Irish mafia at you, as if this exists. First, we have to believe that there's a couple of crazy Irish people like Kevin O'Leary who will be obsessed with destroying CZ. Good luck, Kevin. In a way, I want Kevin to pursue this path of vengeance because I want to test Binance. I want to know if Binance is solid enough to take one of the richest people on earth going after him and with all of the politician allies that he has. Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a political war in which Kevin O'Leary will be on these committees. He will be hand in hand talking with the politicians, with the Democrats at least. And he's going to be pressuring, or maybe the centrist Republicans, and he's going to be pressuring for harsh intervention against CZ. And I think that CZ will rise victorious from this. That would be my bet. Victorious in the sense that I don't think they're going to be able to extradite him to the US. I don't think they may not even be able to start a criminal case. And if they try to regulate, they're going to be faced with the harsh reality that all they can regulate is Binance US. And Binance US is just a part of the operations of CZ. So I think that in a way, CZ has already made himself resilient to anything they can do. And if they cannot find him physically and bring him by force and claim something criminal, they're not going to be able to do anything else than continue trying to incite a bank run. But if CZ has made his calculations correct, a bank run will not ruin him. So good luck, CZ. I'm on your side. I don't know if you'll survive this. I think the next month might be hard. But if you survive it, you'll survive anything. So I'm totally on the side of Binance surviving. Go Away says, wow, we have never seen levels of cope this high before. It is absolutely absolute cope. I mean, Kevin O'Leary is trying to interact with the crypto industry in a little bit like he's done all of his life. He thinks that he's going to go after the crypto industry a little bit like he would go after a copyright infringement against his intellectual property or his licenses. And I think he's sorely mistaken. I think he's attacking something that's so much greater than CZ, so much greater than Binance. And he's going to face the full resistance of the internet, if you want my opinion. And that will take many forms. It's not just going to be me making videos about him and ridiculing him. It's going to be there's a mass of people who benefit from the crypto ecosystem, from the decentralization of it. They see Binance as a good point to have, as a ramp in, ramp out. It has a role in the crypto economy. And they're not going to be happy, and you're going to have to buy each of them if you want them to be favorable to your story, Kevin. Firestarter says, CZ head looks pretty normal in the photos. I think the news made his head weirder yesterday. You're doing live phrenology. I had never heard of this. The claim that your head changes as your mood changes. Same thing here. Another guy with a large following, but not so many views. Like, we've seen yesterday a video of 1.8 million subscribers, and the video had 60,000 views. Here we have 300,000 subscribers, 6.6K views, but that was just an hour after the video was released, so maybe it's going to get higher. And it's the same thing. It's the whole FUD. Who's paying all these people? You cannot coordinate all these people suddenly to be saying the same thing.
Is Binance going to go down? Are they the next domino to fall? How low would Bitcoin go if this happens? We'll find out in around 10 minutes because it's time for Chico Crypto. Rumors are running wild that the Binance exchange doesn't have full reserves, and their demise could be coming very soon.
Now here they say we have the proof CZ will be arrested soon. The video is long, so I'm not going to play it all. But the so-called proof, what is it? So what is new from this video? Well, he claims that He has evidence of a discussion between CZ and SBF, and that discussion comes from a leaked group discussion, which was called something along the lines of Exchange Coordination Room. It was a chat room in which there was SBF from FTX, CZ from Binance, and perhaps many other people. And he claims that, oh my God, Exchange Coordination Group. That's illegal. You cannot coordinate between exchanges. And that is so extrapolated. It depends on what you do in that room. You can totally have a discussion between competitors and say, okay, we're going to, maybe we can agree on a couple of things on how we do stuff and how we handle our markets. Of course, if they were in that chat room and they said, all right, I'm going to sell some Bitcoin, get ready for a drop of price, that would be illegal. That would be market manipulation. But they certainly didn't do this, right? It would be crazy if CZ was so incompetent that he would be there saying, oh yeah, we're going to manipulate the market. I don't care if it's illegal. Ha ha. That didn't happen. So you have no proof, bro. You... you have the title of a discussion group, and it is not illegal even to coordinate. It depends on what they were coordinating on. Perhaps they were coordinating on how we process customer inputs. Perhaps they were coordinating on how do we approach the growth in the market and the fact that that CZ was a shareholder in FTX. There's so much possible. And this is the famous discussion that I had already shown on the show here. And so nothing was alarming in that discussion. It's just at some point in the process where SBF was slowly falling into bankruptcy and it was starting to be public that FTX was going to crash. CZ said to SBF something along the lines of, the more you do, the more you will destroy. It's something like, please stop destroying the crypto industry. And it makes total sense. I don't see how this could be interpreted as proof that he's going to be arrested. This is not the evidence of a criminal action. I'm like, I have a business, you have a business, your business starts messing the whole market, starts destroying the whole market, losing the trust of customers, stealing customer funds. And I say, hey, please stop messing our markets. Like, you're destroying the crypto industry. I have interest in the crypto industry being healthy. That's what CZ said. And it's ridiculous how they title. They have so much pressure on them to be finding something wrong about Binance that they have to over-title, and that tells you everything you need to know. Where's the misinformation banning here? Twitter and YouTube, what are you doing? Go Away says, Jeff, all the major hotel chains in Australia have banned me despite being only one incident at one hotel and despite the fact that they are competitors. Tell me how this is fair or legal. First, this is not at all what was happening with CZ. There's no evidence of a common blacklist. I've not seen that evidence, at least. If you have that evidence, show it to me. Now, as far as your personal situation, go away. I can understand. You've been a troll, and I've been wanting to ban you so often. And you just have to understand that the Australian hotel industry is not weak like I am. It's a harsh field, you know? Not everyone will make it in this industry. I'm a kind guy. I retain my desire to ban. I'm willing to put some self-control over it. But in the case, when you deal with the Australian hotels, they don't mess around for a long time.
You have to treat your friends with dignity, and you have to be loyal to those friends, because the friends are there for Israel.
So Donald Trump speaking to Jews about how he's their best friend.
Like they used to be. There's a group that's very much opposed to Israel and frankly to Jewish people. And you just can't let that happen. So when you have an ally, and I believe I'm the best ally you've ever had.
And here we go. Trump just sold all of his NFT trading card. It took 24 hours. He has collected a total of $4.5 million, something along those lines. All of the NFT Trump cards that are absolutely ugly have been sold. And there is even speculation on the price because they were all sold at $99. And there are already some on the market for $200. Soon the Barbie movie will be coming out. I'm expecting it with extreme enthusiasm. I hope that they haven't put a subplot about a trans person questioning herself or himself. I hope it's really just about a super Barbie with a super Ken, just heterosexual all the way. This is one of the movies that could be fascinating. I'm extremely expectant for this movie. End of the line, Joel says, I'm sure that Barbie has diverse friends in it. Stephen Robinson says Barbie grows a penis. Oh God, we're finally gonna get a movie where I think there's a chance that it will be entirely hetero. Pollen demands answers after a gift that the police chief has received from Ukraine explodes. So this police chief, Jaroslav Simsik, was hospitalized after a gift package that he received exploded. It was a grenade launcher, I believe. But that's precisely what's different and more bizarre about this case compared to the anonymous threatening packages and in some cases mail bombs which have been sent to embassies and consulates in Europe over the past month, which authorities have been scrambling to track down. The exploding gift actually came from one of the heads of the Ukrainian services, according to the Polish government. So what is it? Is it threats or is it actual gifts? Apparently it was some kind of grenade launcher, which is what happens when you send weapons to Ukraine. They have so many weapons, they want to give gifts. I mean, if you give me too much meat, I will give meat away as a gift. If you give me too much wood, I will share my wood with my neighbors. But we are sending weapons to Ukraine, much more than they need. Rodi Lasid says, whose side is Ukraine on? Ukraine is on the exact same path as Israel could have been or was maybe, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It's like it's a nascent, terroristic rule in a country that is heavily funded by a flow of money from the U.S. And it's not going to be good long term. DHS says it will close gaps around along the southwest border wall as end of Title 42 looms. The Department of Homeland Security announced that it will work to close gaps along the southwestern border of the wall between the U.S. and Mexico. The Biden administration is confronted with finding solutions to address the end of Title 42, which is set to expire on December 21st, DHS has said that could lead to an estimated 9,000 to 14,000 illegal immigrants crossing from Mexico into the U.S. every day. Title 2, created by Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1944, was designed to prevent the introduction of contagious diseases in the U.S., but it was one of the tools that, of course, has an impact on the passage of illegal migrants at the southern border. Elon Musk clashes with Twitter Files journal Barry Weiss after she criticizes journalist suspensions. Can we stop talking about journalist suspensions and talk about those people who have been suspended for years? Like me and Keith Woods, we have been targeted. Our business have been targeted. The fact that we have a lower audience now is largely caused by the fact that we have lesser reach when we are banned. So can we not cry on the journalists that have been banned yesterday and start unbanning the journalists that have been banned 2 years ago? Weiss feared Musk's new Twitter regime was governed by its own whims and biases. The old regime at Twitter governed by its own whims and biases, and it sure looks like the new regime has the same problem. I oppose it in both cases, and I think those journalists who were reporting on a story of public importance should be reinstated. I agree with the beginning of this quote. I agree that Elon Musk is taking Twitter in a very bad direction if he continues to be inspired by emotional whims. Be a man, Elon, and give general amnesty not only to the journalists you just banned, but to everyone. in the history that has been banned. Jonathan Dow says, JF, why is there a distinction between journalists and everyone else? Yeah, why would we even make that distinction? Just unban all the accounts like you had said you would. You had said you would unban the accounts unless they have engaged in egregious spam, which I haven't engaged in, or criminal activity, which I haven't engaged in. So it's not a matter of journalists versus citizens, because as soon as you create that distinction, you disadvantage the independent creators with respect to the journalist. Because at this point, yes, Rudy Lacid says, I identify as a journalist. At this point, it's not ridiculous to say that most information we get, quality information, underground information, facts of the world, we get it from here and there, a citizen becoming a journalist basically for 10 seconds, recording the right clip at the right time with his phone. And perhaps I'll never hear about this guy anymore. But some of us are like influencers and YouTubers and Odysseyer. Some of us are kind of in between in that we make it a job to be journalists, but much of our content comes still from these citizen journalists, these random people who end up making facts available to the entire world. Jason Kent, this is the typical reaction from the leftist on Twitter. They're like, oh my God, leftist journalists have been banned yesterday. He says, I don't know what happened here, but if Elon Musk doesn't fix this within the hour with an explanation by morning, I'll be on Capitol Hill tomorrow demanding that he be hauled in front of Congress. That's all they have. Threat of legislative action. Threats of the government is going to mess your life. That's all they have. That's all they had back in the days when the FBI was controlling who gets banned by Twitter. And now that they have lost this possibility, now that Elon is not fully in bed with the FBI, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get you in front of Congress. Always state threats, which is why state threats should be abolished. It should be criminal, by the way, what this guy is saying. This is a threat of violence. You're suggesting that the state may mess Elon's business just because he doesn't do what they want him to do. And by the way, haven't seen these guys complain when people like me were getting banned. So they're not about free speech. They're just about favoring the leftist journalist. Ariel Suarez says, we get it from people who simply made the decision to go out there and investigate the truth of on their own. Absolutely. So many videos that I see of people injured by the vaccine, for example. I would never get this from any mainstream media. It's just people deciding on their own, hey, I have this massive handicap caused by the vaccine. I want to put it on the internet so that more people are informed. End of the line, Joel says, never forget that any organization that does not explicitly declare itself as right-wing eventually ends up as left-wing. Musk's intervention is only temporary. Left-wing drift will eventually show up again. That's my impression, especially given that Musk doesn't seem very energized in pursuing a true amnesty. Why is he so slow at unbanning? It should be an automated system that says, all right, everyone who's been banned before that date, we all release you if you want, if you click yes, maybe. Racial discrimination suit against Tesla seeks to include more than 100 other workers as plaintiffs. So this has been in process for a long time. It's a bunch of workers who initially claimed that there were little racist comments made by some managers at Tesla, and it wasn't just a small problem, it was more an institutional problem. I don't know if it's going to be successful. I think it's one way of the left going at Elon, and the fact that they're including 100 more workers out of nowhere, that looks like they're trying to make it bigger, and it's like, this is our leverage on Elon. Since he doesn't do what we want, we're going to get at him fast. Twitter censorship contributed to destructive pandemic policies and is criminal, says this guy. We've heard him. This guy was an advisor. Dr. Scott Atlas was an advisor for a short time, I believe, at the White House, and eventually got replaced by more technocratic, more anti-liberty people. But yeah, I fully agree that the shutting down of people has been keeping us from talking about the truth, from informing the population about dangers that they were exposing themselves to by following the monopolistic government discourse on COVID. Someone has sent me this article and wanted to have me comment on it. The contribution of cannabis use to variation in the incidence of psychotic disorder across Europe, a multi-center case control study. So it's the age-old question of, is smoking pot leading to more schizophrenia? And we face some problems in science, and I really like this study. It's really well done. I wasn't aware of it. So we face the big problem of, we can only do correlative studies in humanity generally, unless we have a medication, in which case we can do a double-blind controlled study. But for this question, you cannot do a double-blind study, really, because that would mean telling people you smoke pot for no reason at all. And you smoke pot starting at 14 years old, and then we're going to check if you're schizophrenic. That doesn't work. So we only have correlative evidence. And the problem in correlative evidence is it the pot that caused this person to become schizophrenic eventually? Or is it that this person was schizophrenic to begin with, and they just like self-medicating with the pot? It makes them feel better, and perhaps it's something that schizophrenics need more than most people. But this study has found a workaround to the fact that we can only do correlative studies. They have found, they went in areas of Europe where lower THC concentration is imposed in pot. So they asked, is passing a law that for, or just the circumstances of the market of pot in this particular country lead to a lower THC concentration, does that reduce the amount of schizophrenics that rise into the next generation? And it turns out it does, which means pot seems to have a causal role in causing schizophrenia. There are more schizophrenic in those countries where pot is higher concentration. And in those places where it's lower concentration, they have less schizophrenics rising into the next generation. So it's a very well done study, and a very, because I've been thinking about this problem for 10 years at least. I've been aware of this problem since my PhD years. And it's the first study I see that convinces me we're kind of working our way around the correlation is not causation problem. And I'm convinced now that, yeah, the evidence seems to point to a causal role. Pot would cause a little bit more schizophrenia, maybe not all of it, but a little bit more. Senate unanimously passes bill to ban TikTok on all government devices amid national security concern. I don't know what I think about this. I think it's okay for countries to be protecting their citizens against dangerous apps that would have national security issues related to them. But if that's a national security issue, how is what Google does, what Facebook does, what Apple does not a national security issue? And ultimately, all they can say to that is, well, it's a Chinese company. oh, so I'm going to get fucked by four American companies, have my information taken without my consent, have it spread potentially to China or potentially to other corporate entities, and that's okay. But if China does it, that's not okay. I would like to see more uniformity in the government intervention here. Are we saying that my information is owned by me? Because if so, it really doesn't matter that TikTok is a Chinese company. It matters that people should be able to trade that information themselves and accept what is taken from them. Rodi Lucid says, JF, have you seen in New Zealand they want to permanently ban tobacco? And I heard some people in Canada saying they want to do the same for Canada. It would be ironic to legalize pot but ban tobacco. It would be ironic. Look, I'm against banning. I think people should expose themselves to the dangers they want. Now, basically, tobacco is banned in Canada. You just don't know it. I went to buy some tobacco recently, like 2 years ago. And it's like $30. $30. 30 Canadian dollar to buy a single pack of cigarettes. You can't live with this. Back in the generation of my father, a true DK Shadow says smoker JF. No. I mean, I actually bought this tobacco for the purpose of trying pot. And I don't like pot, but I was like, okay, now pot is legal. I'm going to try pot. I don't like it anymore. I used to take some when I was very young, but that's why I needed a tobacco smoke. It was to add a little bit of tobacco to the pot. So $30 is unviable because the generation of my father, they were buying a pack a day at least, and a big smoker would smoke a little more than a pack a day. Now, a pack a day at $30, maybe you do a pack and a half, that's $45. That's very hard to come with if you have your other expenses. You basically have to be rich to be a full-blown smoker in Canada. Nicholas Petris says you don't need tobacco for cannabis consumption. Well, personally I don't consume cannabis alone. I roll with a little bit of tobacco. DK Shadow says JF was rolling blunts, yo. Well, yeah, but it's legal. I want to specify just for people reviewing this. I'm not encouraging the consumption of pot, by the way. I think it's bad, and I did it because I wanted to see as an adult how I would experience it. Not super interesting. Jonathan Dow says, JF, no welfare subsidized drugs? Do we want to argue that in Canada, now that it's the states controlling the pot market, do we want to argue that it's subsidized? The fact is, if I bought a gram of pot, it was 3.5 grams of pot that you would buy, generally, 3.5, that's how it was. And you would buy it for, what, $30? That was like when I was 20, 25 years old. Today, it's the exact same price. So is it state subsidized? Well, what happened is that the state has taken over a market that was a black market. It has built entire buildings separate from their other buildings. They already had buildings for alcohol. They built entire separate buildings for pot. And you go into the province of Quebec, you have the alcohol building, you have the pot building. So it's the same price as before. So is it subsidized? Well, in the sense that the state has made a very inefficient apparatus with unionized employees and all, that they have to pay more. In that sense, it's subsidized, but it's not so much the pot that's subsidized. It's the it's the salesmen and the people who are there who wait all day to get just a few customers. The marketing of pot by the government in Canada is an absolute failure. It's a big waste of money. It's basically state employees just staying there all day, selling pot at quantities and prices that may have led to a 14 years old, 18 years old, 24 years old to be making a little bit of money out of it. But the state has turned it into a totally wasteful enterprise. And it's kind of ridiculous when you enter these pot shops. Eric Oliver has sent a super chat on entropy. He says, if normies are shocked at not 100% one-to-one reserves, wait until they learn about fractional reserve banking. This message brought to you by Wells Fargo, Citibank, Bank of America, and the Federal Reserve Bank Cartel. Exactly. People are demanding that CZ be entirely bank-run resistant. When I think that he may be. I think that he may be. But I find it absolutely ridiculous that these people are demanding that Binance be able to handle a bank run. A full bank run toward them, including the smearing and the whole media going after them and potentially them imprisoning CZ. They want Binance to be able to survive that when there's not a single bank in the traditional banking system that can survive this. If there's a chance that someone can survive a bank run, it's CZ at Binance. Isn't it fascinating that he's the one they go after? When it's very clear that Wells Fargo cannot. EU threatens Musk with sanctions. We talked about it based on the chat earlier. But yeah, the EU is another point of pressure on Musk. The leftists are at him through all directions. DK Shadow says, if you do this to a legacy bank, the SEC and FBI will be knocking at your door. Exactly. It will be treated as domestic terrorism. If you were to say what Kevin O'Leary has said about Wells Fargo, they will get at you for domestic terrorism and attempts at destabilizing the market and deceptive practices. Yet you can do this to Binance, and that's exactly what the system wants. So he's let free to do it. He's doing it on national TV. A picture of devastation, the greatest aquarium in the world. A 264,000-gallon aquarium has perished. It had 1,500 tropical fishes, and it bursts in the German hotel in the capital of Berlin on Friday. All of the fish have fell onto the ground, and some of them were still alive, they were saved, but a lot of them have died. Look at this. Broken glasses, enormous broken glasses, so much that it destroys the wall around. It destroys the exterior walls around. Fascinating. And that was where the aquarium was standing. The greatest aquarium in the world. It cost $13 million to build. That is, how do we call this in English? It's a sin, I believe. That's vanity. This aquarium sweats vanity. It sweats human vanity to play with the impossible. It is a misuse of glass, really. Hubris, that is hubris. Absolutely, hubris. That is the correct term. Better than vanity, because vanity is more kind of self-oriented, where this is hubris. This is, you don't want to do this. This shouldn't exist. You know, how thick do you have to make your glass to sustain the full weight of water like this? That's ridiculous. And this had been in position since a long time. Apparently, it's the cold that ultimately hit the sides of the aquarium, and they had made repairs across the years. They were trying to hold it up, but eventually it's always the cold, you know. The difference of temperature is something that glass has a very difficult time handling. Glass can survive relatively high temperature, you know, in the form of Pyrex and that kind of composite structure. I don't know exactly how they do Pyrex. It has potential for handling high temperature and low temperature very well. But put a differential of temperature, and this part of the glass is trying to contract while this part of the glass is trying to expand, and it cracks very easily. Dead Star says, your mind would be blown if you saw the whale shark tank in Atlanta, biggest aquarium in the world. I actually saw it when I went to Atlanta to see my friends there. No, I don't have friends in Atlanta. I'm joking. But I did go to Atlanta. I was forced to go there at some point. And I went to the shark tank. It is enormous. In fact, I said the biggest aquarium in the world. You're right. The shark tank of Atlanta is probably bigger. I don't know. Because what I see here is small fishes, whereas they literally have a gigantic shark in the aquarium. But I guess that those aquariums are easier to build because it's it's not a fully glass aquarium in Atlanta. It's basically they dug an aquarium and they put a glass wall on only one surface. So I guess that's the biggest glass-only aquarium in the world. But yeah, and we're talking about the great giant white shark or whatever. These are enormous. I don't know exactly what's the size of the one in Atlanta, but we're not talking about sharks that you can even hold in your hand. We're talking about whale-like entities, okay? Gigantic shark. And yeah, the shark is just chilling in the aquarium in Atlanta. Johnny Danger says, fish farts caused the glass warming. Ah, so you're telling me that this is a model of what's happening with the global heating, the global warming of the earth? Interesting. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you for being here, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.